Broadcasting live from the Roswell Infinity Studio, located inside Digital Ignition, where North Atlanta startups take off. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, your host, and we're on a special edition this week because we got knocked out by the snowpocalypse, or whatever you want to call it, in Atlanta, where a few ice cubes got spilled on the ground and everyone panicked and canceled everything, including North Fulton Business Radio. But we're making up for it today with two great guests, Chuck Talin, who is the regional vice president with Valpak, and Michael Blake with Brady Ware and Company. And Michael has got a big announcement for us on some great work that he's doing here at Business Radio X. But before that, I would like to remind you that we are broadcasting from the Digital Ignition, our studio inside Digital Ignition, and Digital Ignition is the ultimate place for entrepreneurs to work, innovate, learn, establish, and grow their companies. Nestled within a 45,000-square-foot building is an open floor plan with co-working office space, dedicated desk, private offices, meeting rooms, event space, and a fantastic break room with outdoor patio and all the fresh ground coffee you can drink. And you will need that coffee if you go outside on that patio today. If you want great co-working as well as space which impresses investors, customers, and future employees, visit digitalignition.com. And we turn now to Chuck Talin. Chuck is the regional general manager for Valpak. Chuck, welcome.
Good morning, and thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So tell us about you and tell us about Valpak.
Okay, so I'm fairly new to Atlanta. I've been here for 1 year, and I really enjoy it. It looks a lot and feels a lot like Michigan without the snow, so that's a good thing.
Yep.
And I'm in charge of 6 states for Valpak, and including, of course, Atlanta, where my headquarters are. And I just enjoy working with business customers who are looking for a good return on their investment, and that's where Valpak comes in.
Now, we know Valpak for the blue envelopes, the iconic blue envelopes that come in the mail the first of every month. Tell us about that traditional business.
We've been around for 50 years, so it's nothing new for Valpak. And we generally come out in the Atlanta area around the 15th of every month. And what we do is we send out 650,000 envelopes in the greater Atlanta area. We cover most of the area, not all of it, but most of it. And so we have a core group of customers that really do super well in Valpak, and the redemption is phenomenal on their coupons. And it's restaurants and pizza, which I was talking to the receptionist out front who uses them, and to HVAC customers, home services of all kinds. And we track, and we find out that we really deliver a great return on investment.
And the interesting thing about that traditional product is you're really able to track that ROI, which is really important for any kind of promotion, right?
Yeah, the basic thing that we must do is give our customers a great return on their investment. And so, yes, we use tracking numbers in the ads, and unique URLs as well, if that's what they'd like, so that we can make sure that we are getting them the calls that they need. Plus, we provide them, who allow us to track, with a dashboard. So it's updated constantly. So every day they can go in and see the calls they got the day before, and they can listen to them. So
wow.
That's a real positive thing for our customers, and they really like that a lot.
It's one thing to get the leads. It's another thing to convert them. So if you're not converting, you want to know why.
Yes, and what we find out is we get a lot of customers calling them, and sometimes they don't get the calls on time or they're not routed correctly. But most of the time, the customers in Atlanta do a fantastic job.
Now, the interesting thing about Valpak and what I've been dying to ask you is that Valpak has moved well beyond the iconic blue envelope and into a lot of other areas of digital marketing.
Yes. Thank you for asking. We don't just do blue anymore. That's what we call it, blue. And So just like others, customers have a lot of needs out there. So we want to make sure that we can capture and help them along with all those needs. So we do search engine marketing, websites. We have a Facebook component as well. And also we are really good with, of course, solo postcards, because it makes sense. We have all the data and we can capture anything and everything want. In fact, if you want us to send out a solo postcard for anybody looking for hubcaps, we can do that. So we target households specifically. Yeah, it really works fantastic.
Cool. So talk through how a typical the process works. I'm a business person interested in your services. So how do you walk me through what the best recommendations are for me and my business?
That's great. Yesterday I was down in the city of Tyrone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I had a nice drive. It's a beautiful area. Mm-hmm. It really is. And so I was out seeing a customer with one of the sales reps, and he was a new customer. And so the biggest thing we do is go out there and ask them questions about their business. First of all, we want to make sure we have the right fit and we get the right return on investment from them. So going out, talking, discovering what their needs are and finding out what application will fit for them. And yesterday it was blue as well as search engine marketing and possibly mobile display, where we can target specific types of households and customers and track them and send them ads. So it's just about getting out and listening and then getting back to them and fulfilling what they need, coming up with the right idea.
So how do you work with business owners that kind of maybe think they know what they need? I mean, there's this mismatch between what I as a business owner think, since I'm buried in my business every day, and then what you as a much more objective eye, and you've seen what has worked for others and what doesn't work. I mean, how do you deal with that situation?
That comes up a lot. It's a great question because, there's nobody who knows more about their business than the business owner. They really do. And what I try to do and teach my team is to sit back and listen to what the customer is looking for, what their true objective is for the blue envelope or whatever product they buy with us, and make sure that we deliver on that. But using as well all our information from 50 years of data and making sure that they know exactly what the market really is doing out there, because sometimes it's different than what they think. And that's our job, is to make sure they understand it.
Sure. We're speaking with Chuck Talene, and Chuck is the regional general manager for Valpak. So, Chuck, let's back up for a second. You've got a long experience in print advertising, a lot of experience in the Yellow Pages industry. Mm-hmm. Talk about your journey.
Yeah, thanks, John. It's been it was a long journey with one.
Started out young, right?
I did start out as a kid.
Yeah.
I started out with a great company, AT&T, in 1991 as a sales rep in Michigan, selling print Yellow Pages for them. I did that for about 5 years, moved on to be a sales manager for about 10 years with them, and then about another 8 years as a general manager, and then finally ending up as a regional vice president after 4 years. And it took me to, with AT&T, 9 different cities in 27 years. So in that time, I figured that I've seen about 50,000 different customers in the 5 states and 9 cities I worked in.
Wow.
Yeah, I moved a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was great. I got to live in great areas like San Diego, California, Orange County, California, Dallas, Texas, and now Atlanta with Valpak.
Sunshine's the theme there. I see that after growing up in Michigan. cold Michigan. So I guess talk a little bit about, just from a general perspective, about the move from print to digital, but there seems to be a little bit of a rebound on the print side, particularly in terms of mailers.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. In terms of direct mail,
yeah,
it has
direct
come
mail
back.
In general, mm-hmm.
It has. I mean, back in the AT&T days, we moved to digital back in around 2004. And it got to be when in my last year with AT&T Yellow Pages in Dallas, I had, I think my office had $25 million in digital and another $25 million in print. But as you said, now the shift has come back a little bit for print. It really has, at least for us. And I was out about 2 weeks ago seeing a large headquartered company here in Atlanta. And I was sitting down talking to about five of their marketing coordinators. And they were all probably under 35, very sharp, knew their business well. But one of them turned and looked at me and said, "You know, Chuck, what's old is new again, and print is new again, and that's why we want to do business with Valpak." That's a strong statement.
Wow.
Yeah.
For sure.
So so you are right. It has seen a resurgence. We're doing well in Atlanta and all my other markets, and it has come back because it works, because what we find is that it doesn't matter what income level you're at. Everybody's looking for an opportunity to get a better deal, and that's really where we come in.
Well, and some of it, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like some of it is there's just not as much coming in the mailbox now as there used to be, so there's a whole lot less to get distracted by, so people are paying more attention.
People are paying more attention, that's for sure, and there is less out there nowadays, and we are pretty consistent, so they know we're coming every month. And, you know, we did something unique last October. We partnered in 2018 with Susan G. Komen, and we worked with them, and we delivered in October in all our markets of Valpak a pink envelope for the first time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was
very cool.
It was cool, and and business owners were allowed to sponsor Susan G. Komen through us, and they were in the pink envelope, and they received a pink border around their ad inside the envelope. So it was really cool. In Atlanta was one of the leading areas in the company for Valpak for generating donations from our customers. They did a great job. But it was the first ever that we didn't do blue, and it was October of last year.
Very nice. We're speaking with Chuck Talene, and Chuck is the Regional General Manager for Valpak. Chuck, I'm curious about mobile. Talk about mobile. Is that marketing through mobile means, is that hype, or is there some reality to that that people need to be paying attention to?
Yeah, because, you know, we're all using our iPhones every day, everyone is. And Valpak, we have our own app, and so you can download it from the Apple Store, or iTunes, I should say, and whether you have an Android or an Apple phone. And that's used considerably because you can pull up, it's GPS, so you can pull up coupons wherever you're at, download them, and use them right away. So that's handy. But also, you know, we are getting into products like mobile display and search engine marketing, which are designated for your phone. And so the phone really rules nowadays, and so that's what people want to use. So we make sure we have the right products for it.
So if I'm a consumer, I can download that app for free, use those coupons, what have you, just like I use the print coupons that come in my mailbox.
Yes, exactly. So everyone go out there and download the app and use the coupons. Customers are expecting it and love to see it.
My wife is downloading the app right now because she loves coupons. Chuck Talene, Regional General Manager for Valpak. One quick question before we wrap up with you. Talk about ideal customers. For you, who's a good customer for Valpak? You've talked to 50,000 of them, so you know the answer to this by now, right, Chuck?
Yeah. the good news is everything's different. It's all different. But, you know, so the ideal customer is a customer who has a need to grow their business and that we can get a good return on investment, because that's bottom line, number one. And, you know, we cater to really 25 specific categories that we know really work. Like I said earlier, restaurants, pizza, any kind of home services, which include, you know, heating, air conditioning, roofing, gutters, siding, and even lawn care, and of course, oil changes. Those are our ideal customers. But we're willing to talk to everybody and help them out whichever way we can.
Outstanding. So, Chuck, for those that would like to be in touch, why don't you tell them how to do that?
Yeah, easy. You can email me at chuck_tellin@valpak.com, and that's T-E-L-I-I-N. Or pick up the phone and call me at 951-252-5676.
Outstanding. Chuck Tellin, the regional general manager from Valpak, thanks for being with us.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Folks, if you need help curing the headaches of administrative tasks, bookkeeping, marketing, presentations, any of that stuff you really don't want to deal with, you'd rather work it out of the front office of your business, then you need to engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. It's not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as-needed basis. Your terms and your timeline, they lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel S.E. Escobedo at 770-442-9246. We now turn to a return guest, Michael Blake. Michael is the Director of Valuation Services and a shareholder with Brady Ware & Company. Michael, welcome again.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. We've got a big announcement. You've got a big announcement. Tell it. Just let's get right to it.
Yeah, so the big announcement is that Brady Ware is launching a podcast through this network, and it's called Decision Vision. And the goal of the podcast is to be is to help business owners and executives understand how to think about a problem. And you know, when you think about doing a podcast, I think one good thing to the way we think about doing that is, can we bring something new to the table that isn't already out there and has been done 25 different times, right? And you know, I'm not a social media influencer. You know, I'm not going out on a yacht and going to tropical islands and showing people what a great life I have. We're trying to bring something to the table that is informative. And I think we've hit upon it. I think that when we kind of walk people through, how do you think through a problem? I think that's going to be different. It's going to be valuable because, you know, we can't solve somebody's problem over the phone or over the radio or the internet. We don't know enough about anybody's unique circumstances unless we have a chance to really get a chance to know them and dig in and meet them. So it would be inappropriate, really, to try to tell people, here's what you should do all the time. But what we can do is we can offer a framework using people who, you know, leveraging our relationships and leveraging the knowledge of people who do know what they're doing to help them think about, well, here are the things you need to know to make an informed decision, or here are the five things that you need to be thinking about before you make that decision. So we're excited. We think it's something new. We think it's something that's never really been tried before, and we hope it's going to be useful to an audience.
That's exciting stuff. So let's back up on your background, though, because you've got podcasts in your background. You're a pro.
Yeah, well, many years ago, and this is so long ago, there's actually cave paintings of our podcast being done in France someplace. But I was co-host of a podcast called the Startup Lounge Podcast, and we did 42 or 3 episodes or so, got up to a listener base of about 25,000 listeners. So, but, you know, the infrastructure then, I think it was harder to do a podcast back then. Just the equipment, you really had to be a sound engineer then, and doing the editing was much more difficult. And so, and we weren't doing it to make money. We were doing it because it was a way to give back to the community. It was a way for a couple of knuckleheads to get on the radio because nobody in their right mind would have us. But by the time we got to, you know, episode 42, 43, we kind of figured, well, I think we've talked about everything that needed to be talked about. And I've been looking for a long time to think about what else can I talk about that is useful. And I've had a lot of dumb ideas that I thought about. And thankfully, my friends talked this. That's not just dumb. It's really dumb. So don't ever speak of it again. But this is the one idea that people said, you know what? I think there's something to that. So It's been about 6 years before I've been behind a microphone, or since I've been behind a microphone with any regularity, and we're looking forward to it.
Michael Blake with Brady Ware and Company and host of Decision Vision. Now, we've already got a couple of episodes that we've done, and I can just tell everybody, you're a great interviewer. And I think part of it is because, like, you're a practitioner. You know what you're doing. You've been doing this for a long time with a lot of different professionals, right?
Well, I appreciate that. I think if I am a good interviewer, and I'm not sure that I am, but let's for the moment, let's just say you're right. I think it comes from two things. Number one, in my job in business appraisals, I'm in the information gathering business. I have never learned a single thing with my mouth open. Never. Well, except I had a cavity. That I learned with my mouth open. But otherwise, never learned a darn thing. And you know, second, when we were doing when we started the Startup Lounge podcast, we thought eight people would listen to it, six of whom were our relatives and were afraid to tell us they didn't listen to it, and two other people by accident, and nobody would listen to it. Then all of a sudden, people started listening to it. We actually got stopped on the street and played, like, aren't you the Startup Lounge guy? This is crazy. Okay, so we'd better learn how to actually be journalists. And I listened actually to an interview that Dan Patrick gave, and he talked about how he did interviews. And one of the things he said was that he thought that a mistake that a journalist made was that they tried to show off their knowledge to the audience.
Right.
And they would talk more than the person they are interviewing. And if you listen to him talk, he'll ask very short questions, maybe with a little bit of color to it, but then he'll shut up and let the other person talk. And Dan Patrick's done okay for himself. So I figured if it's worked well for him, maybe that would work for me too.
Okay, now speaking of Dan Patrick, we're talking about sports, and we do need to bring up the fact that about your team, right?
So we were talking a lot of listeners.
We were talking about this off air, and we're doing this show right before the Super Bowl. So tell us about your team.
So I grew up in New England, and despite the fact I've lost most of my accent, though, if I have a couple of beers, it comes back. I grew up a New England Patriots fan. And I grew up a Boston sports fan in general. And I do get defensive about it only because I'll say this. Before we got to this golden age of Patriot football that nobody in New England ever thought we would see.
Sure.
We went through a lot of 2-14 seasons. And before that, the only reason we didn't lose 14 games because back then they had a 14-game season, so we went 2-12. And, you know, Schaefer Stadium was a dump, and they were a laughingstock, and nobody cared about the Patriots. And all of a sudden, you know, we catch lightning in a bottle that everybody sort of talks about. So, you know, from my perspective, I because I remember those times, and they will come back. At some point, Father Time will catch up with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, and the Patriots will become just another football team. So, you know, every time we kind of make it back to this point, I realize it could very well be the last one. I thought 3 years ago would be the last one. So we're playing with house money. But, you know, that having been said, as I post on my Facebook today, I am that guy. So this weekend, I am that guy. I am obnoxious Patriots, Boston sports fans. And we're, by the way, we're lousy winners. You may not have noticed this. I mean, you'd think that we won as many times as the Yankees have or the Steelers have, like the whole history. And, you know, when the Red Sox come to town, I feel badly. You know, they're more. It's like a home game for the Red Sox. When the Celtics come to town, it's like a home game for the Celtics. And I completely understand Atlanta fans just being the living you-know-what annoyed with us for the fact that we do that. Because we're bad winners. We're bad losers. And the only thing worse than a bad loser is a bad winner, and we're bad winners. But for good or ill, we keep winning, so we're going to keep being bad winners.
Well, I mean, if Atlanta fans would take those seats, then you wouldn't be able to get there. So we have to say that, right? I mean, it wouldn't be so easy for all the Boston fans to show up. But I want to bring this back to business. So you talked about lean years for a long time. We're in the salad days, and those days are going to go away. Talk about the business lesson out of that.
You know, there are very few – I think there are a couple of business lessons. One is a lesson that everybody has their ups and downs, right? Apple's going through tough times right now. General Electric, that's a company we thought would be around by the time the dolphins take over the planet, right? And they're sort of our overlords. They're in real trouble. So everything goes, you know, it's very easy to lose once you're on top. And then the second, I think the lesson is about sustainability, is that nothing of value, there's nothing in the world that has value that isn't sustainable or sustained in some way. Things that are fleeting, things that are ephemeral, I mean, they're neat, but they don't have any value. So in my line of work, where I'm appraising companies, I'm appraising intellectual property and intangible assets, the question it always comes back to is, how does this thing get sustained? And if it all depends on one person or one law or one thing going right, and that thing has to be there and go right all the time, there's not a lot of value there because you don't own the business. Somebody else does.
Michael Blake, who is a director of Brady Ware & Company, in charge of their valuation services, and also host of the new show Decision Vision that's coming soon here on Business Radio X. So, Mike, talk a little bit about the kind of guests that you'll have, some of the topics that you'll feature on the show.
Yeah, so a couple of episodes that we already have recorded involve, you know, should I get a patent? Not why to get one, but what's the decision process? Or is it time to fire a customer? Should I consider firing a customer? Ones that we have lined up coming up in the next few weeks are, should I accept cryptocurrency? Should I hire an executive recruiter to fill a key position? Should I sue my business partner? I want to do that for the February 14th, sort of a love and divorce related, but I couldn't make the schedule work, unfortunately. But
that would have been
fun.
Yeah.
So instead it'll be around St. Patrick's Day. I can't wait to see what we're going to do with that. So, you know, again, kind of critical questions that, you know, if you happen to have a mentor or somebody you trusted for advice, you just ask that question, right? I mean, maybe Chuck is somebody we ought to get on the show, right? Is direct mailing a viable marketing and advertising medium for us, right? It's not for everybody. The answer is not yes all the time. So how do you make that decision? I think that's what's exciting about it, because I ask the questions, but I don't know where the answers are going to take us.
So I'm just curious about the sequencing of this, though. I mean, because it's interesting that what I hear is how to fire a client, but we hadn't even started talking about lead generation or signing clients up or proposals or anything like that. You're already moving to how to fire a client and why.
Well, I think you can have some appreciation of this. You know, our show does not have a budget, so we don't pay guests for appearance fees. So the way here's sort of how the sausage is made. The way that we've set the topics is that at Brady Ware, we got into a room and we put together on a whiteboard about 60 topics we thought that we'd like to talk about. And then we kind of drew up, well, who do we know that can talk about this intelligently and is willing not to turn this into an infomercial, right? For example, in the patent discussion, if the person just comes on and says, everybody has to have a patent, the end, that's not a very interesting show, right?
Sure.
You can get a timeshare pitch from anybody. You don't need to come to our show to get it. And then it's, you know, based on, frankly, on scheduling. You know, who is available when? When are they willing to come on? And then, you know, as the show's host and dictator, it depends largely on what my personal whim is and what I feel like talking about at that given day. So there's sort of a combination of pragmatic and randomness to the discussions, but I wouldn't want to necessarily go in like long story arcs. Like, you know how TV shows do long story arcs now?
Right.
So if you don't watch the first show, you're basically screwed. There's no reason to watch the rest of the season unless you're going to binge watch the whole thing. I don't think that's the way to run a show, because not everybody has the same question. So if we keep hitting the same subject over and over again week for week, yeah, you help a small portion of the audience, and there's a whole bunch of other people that just sort of tune you out. So I think it actually serves our audience well to kind of bounce back and forth.
Well, and to your point about other podcasts that are out there and what the market looks like, I mean, there's a whole lot of shows you can go hear about how to advertise on Facebook. I don't know too many that talks about how to fire a client, for example. So you're bringing topics to the table that people really need to know about and need a good perspective on. And that's what I like about what you're doing.
Well, and I got to say this. I give Brady Ware a lot of credit. You know, I joined the firm about 13 months ago, and I sold my company to them, and I resisted vehemently. I made it very hard for them to bring me in, really on the borderline of being a jerk. But one of the things I wanted to find out from them is does the firm just want to be like everybody else? And if you do, you don't want to hire me. I'm not like everybody. I'm the anti-everybody else. Not only will I not be productive, you will hate me and kill me in 3 months. So to the firm's credit, they are comfortable with talking about and going public with uncomfortable topics, such as firing clients. We have to fire clients.
Sure.
I fire clients. And sometimes that's the best thing that I've ever done for my practice. So, you know, things like cryptocurrency, suing a partner, we're going to have somebody come on and talk about, you know, should I have a forensic accounting exercise done on my company? You know, the more uncomfortable the topic, the more valuable I think it becomes. And I give my firm a lot of credit for being willing to go there, because not all accounting firms are willing to go there. And they're certainly not willing to let me be the guy that goes there.
Well, it's been a lot of fun listening to what we've done so far, and once these shows start coming out, I think people are going to really enjoy them. So, Michael Blake, Brady Ware and Company. For those that want more information, how do they be in touch with you?
So you can email me at msblake@bradyware.com, and then go to our website. I'm sure we have a phone somewhere. I never use it, so I don't know how to call into my own office, but it's on our website. You can find it, and we're all over the place in social media. We've got a Facebook page. We've got at Brady Ware is our Twitter handle. Mine is at Unblakeable, and you know, we'll see you guys out there.
Outstanding. Mike Blake, the host of Decision Vision, coming your way on Business Radio X very soon. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
And folks, I'd like to remind you that all our shows, we're up to about 125 here on Business Radio X, North Fulton Business Radio, are on our website, northfulton.businessradiox.com. So check those out. They're easily searchable, and you can find a lot of great content, a lot of great guests out there for your use and for your download. I'd like to thank Chuck Talim with Valpak. He's the regional general manager with Valpak, and Michael Blake, director of Brady Ware and the host of Decision Vision, coming soon on Business Radio X. Thanks to both of them for being with us. And I'm John Ray. Join us next time for another edition of North Fulton Business Radio.